What do the following names have in common? Chris Rock, Jerry Seinfeld, Ray Romano, Gilbert Gottfried, Paul Reiser, Jim Gaffigan, Louis Black. Yes, of course, they're all comedians, but they can also all trace part of their fame back to a little place called the Comic Strip. Some have called it the greatest comedy club of all time, certainly one of the most influential comedy clubs.
Well, interestingly enough, it was the third club to hit New York City. You know, Bud Friedman had opened the Improv to open a club called Catch a Rising Star. And that was the inspiration for this guy, Richie. When that opened, it was this very hard for the comedians to get stage time. 2 weeks after it opened, and his sign-up sheet is still in the book. We had a club, and in those days, when young comedians would come into it, he was good, and it said, definitely invite back on Monday. At the Improv and at Catch a Rising Star, the Comic Strip became their home for guys like Seinfeld and Larry Miller and George Wallace, the guys that started out together. And Paul Reiser, of course, was in that group, you know. And then as years went on, it just started to build. In 1986, as they said, Eddie Murphy, that was his home club, and at the time, he was the biggest star in the world, and the owner of the club was managing him. So he came in one night, and he said to the owner, and by the way, when he came in, people would be very excited, because he was huge at the time. Beverly Hills Cop 1 had already come out, and he was really the biggest film star in the world, and he came in and he said, are there any black comics that I can see? And in those days, believe it or not, there were very few black comics. So Chris Rock was 19, and he was setting up chairs in exchange for stage time. That was his deal. If he cleaned up the club and set up the chairs, they'd let him go on stage. But it was like 2 in the morning for 6 drunks, you know? So this was a Friday night, and the place was packed. And Chris knew that Eddie was there, and Eddie was his idol. And they put him on stage in a crowded room. And he killed it. He totally killed it. And that's what started his career. Eddie Murphy was waiting for him afterwards, gave him his phone number. And that's what made his career. And that's why he wrote an amazing introduction to this book.
When you talk about him going on at 2 a.m. some nights, for people who go to a contemporary comedy club anywhere across the country, they're thinking to themselves, what are you talking about? If I go to a 7:30 show, I'm in there for an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. I see an opening act. I see a middle act. I see a headliner. We're out. And then they do the show again for the next person. And maybe there's a midnight show as well. That's not how the Comic Strip worked, right?
No, New York City is a whole different ball game. I mean, and especially in those years, they'd have shows that sometimes would start at 2 in the morning. They had what's called late night. These days, we do late night. I hosted late night for the past couple of years. It's a place where younger comedians get a chance to perform, because when you don't have the stage presence, you don't get to go on early in the evening. Jerry Seinfeld said in the book, he said, every comic's ideal is a Saturday night show at the Comic Strip at 9 p.m. But you don't get to that until you work your way up to it. So you start out, you know, at like 1 or 2 in the morning whenever you get a chance to go on. And in those days, comics would sit for hours. And sometimes they wouldn't even get to go on if someone famous came in and bumped them. So the Comic Strip was the first club to come up with the idea of a schedule. They gave everybody a time to go on. And you probably are familiar with Alan Combs, the radio guy. He started out as a stand-up comic, and when he came in for his interview, which I did mostly in the Comic Strip, all these guys came into the strip to do the interview, except for people like Billy Crystal, who I flew out to L.A. to interview. But most of them came in because we thought that if they were surrounded by the walls of the club, that it would bring back memories to them. So Alan Combs came in wearing his Comic Strip jacket that was 30 years old, that looked brand new. And when he talked about how nice the Comic Strip was to him, it actually brought tears to his eyes, because comics have a very hard time. It's a very rough business. You know, you don't make much money at all when you're starting out, and you have to go from club to club, and most of the club owners are not that kind. And so in those days, it was very unusual for a comedy club to welcome these guys. They gave them hamburgers, they gave them T-shirts, they gave them jackets. They really felt like they were home there. And most of the comics in those days spent 7 days a week there. That's what Chris Rock did. He was there every night, which is why he said, you know, eventually something really good happened for him by Eddie Murphy coming in, because he was there so often.
This is America Weekend. I'm Paul Harris, talking with Jeffrey Gurian, a comedy writer and performer and the author of a history of the New York City Comedy Club comic strip called Make 'em Laugh. How much did these guys get paid? I mean, they weren't just paid in T-shirts and jackets, were they?
Well, there was a time when they weren't paid at all, and then the comics in L.A. went on strike. They were literally paid zero. They were just paid with hamburgers and T-shirts and stuff like that. Then they started getting $3. $3 a set after the strike. And then I think it went to $5. These days, it's like $25 during the week. It's a very small amount of money to do a set, which is why a lot of comics will try to get in six or seven clubs in a night, sometimes even more on the weekends. They'll make more money. They might make $75 or $100 a set. But you still, in order to pay bills living in New York City, which is probably the most expensive city in the country, you got to work your butt off to be able to make a living at that. So they run from club to club. So it's a very difficult life being a comedian because you have no social life. If you really want to make it, you have to be on stage every night. And you have to, you perform wherever they need you, you know, in a gas station, you know, at a supermarket, wherever anybody wants to hear jokes, that's where you have to be.
Well, that explains the comedy boom of the 80s and 90s, where every restaurant had, you know, a microphone, not even a stage sometimes, but a microphone, and okay, here's our comedian, right?
As long as there was a brick wall, that's what happened. And that's why, you know, it almost imploded, because comedy had gotten so big in the 80s. And then in the 90s, it was dying down. Now it's seeing such a resurgence. You know, I mean, everybody you meet is a stand-up comedian these days, no matter where you go. And, you know, the club is still going strong. It's amazing. It's the only one of the three clubs that's still in existence. The Improv is out in L.A. Bud moved out to L.A. and brought the club with him there. Catch a Rising Star doesn't exist in its original form. They do have franchises around the country, but Rick is doing many other things now. He's actually in this book. I wanted to talk to Rick because he's an icon in comedy, and he literally was the inspiration for the comic strip. When the owner of the strip saw how busy Catch a Rising Star was, he wound up opening a club a few blocks away, and they used to help each other. They would send each other comics if they needed somebody, you know. Gilbert Gottfried was, well, he's been my favorite comedian forever, and he was one of the most interesting interviews in the book, because after we took him out for lunch, you know, he has a reputation for being very cheap,
yep,
like the Jack Benny of modern times.
Yep.
And so he was the only one who insisted that we took him out for lunch to do the interview. And he chose a very noisy, trendy place in Manhattan where you can't even hear yourself speak. That was where he wanted to go. And so it's in a very expensive part of town. And Richie had to pay for parking. It cost like $50 to park. The lunch was very expensive. And Gilbert spent the entire interview insisting that he had never even been to the club. He said he just came for the free lunch. He
said, and that's Gilbert. If there's a free meal involved, Gilbert's going to show up and tell whatever kind of story he possibly can. The book is called Make 'em Laugh. It's a history of 35 years of the comedians and the club known as the Comic Strip in New York City. Jeffrey Gurian, thanks for joining me on America Weekend.
Can I give my site?
Sure.
It's jeffreygurian.com, J-E-F-F-R-E-Y. G-U-R-I-A-N as in Nancy.com. The book is available in all bookstores, Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, and on my site. So
and thanks for being on the show. I appreciate it. This is America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.